This morning's message is an exposition of Proverbs 18, verse 14. A man's spirit will endure sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to be here today. We pray for your presence, that you may be with us this morning as we worship, praise, and learn of your will for us. Lord, it's all too easy for us to forget to thank you when times are good. Our minds become complacent, and we begin to believe that we can depend on ourselves for peace and reassurance. But Lord, you're very good at reminding us that we need you. And we know that it's just a matter of talking to you on a daily basis to remind ourselves of your everlasting love and promise of redemption to obtain that peace granted through your grace. But Lord, we earnestly pray for those who have yet to find you, who have yet to rely on you. For what do they have? Surely they feel as though they prosper when times are good. But when the tide turns, who do they have? To whom can they turn? For they have yet to know you. Lord, I pray for all of those who have yet to seek you, that you somehow bless them, that the Spirit move within them, or that the Spirit move within one of us, to be bold enough to reveal the gifts that we have been granted through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I also pray that you would continue to use our shepherd, Pastor John, to spread your light here this morning. Lord, lift him up and grant him your peace. Protect his thoughts and focus his mind that your message find its mark within the people gathered here today in your name. Lord, we thank you for our brother, and we pray that with your guidance, that your message not stop at our ears, that it bury itself deep in our hearts, that we nurture and renew it daily through prayer, and that it grow to the point where we only have to open our mouths for your light to shine. Lord, we love you, and we pray to you through this. We pray to you through our only advocate, the light of the world, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay, a human being is a lot like a song. What do I mean by that? Well, a song is two things, really. It's an invisible melody coming to life and finding expression through a physical instrument. So it's spirit and body, so to speak. You know, a song, music, the tune, the notes, if you want to think of it that way, is invisible. It's immaterial. But we find expression. It finds expression. It comes to life through some physical instrument, like a piano over here, or a clarinet, or an accordion, whatever you think in your head, okay? The power of a jig is in the banjo. A jig doesn't do anybody any good if it doesn't have the banjo to strike it up. It's the trumpet that has taps touch the heart, right, when you hear it, that haunting, incredible song. And no symphony can stir the soul without an orchestra. So it is with you and me. We are invisible spirits finding expression through flesh and blood. And this is God's design, is it not? This is how God decided to make us. This is how we are created in his image. We are God in his wisdom, and the way he wanted to make us, his design is that the immaterial, our spirit, our soul, be matched with the material, that we are body, soul, and spirit. We are both, okay? We are essence with existence, and we are thought with voice. Now, to me, of all the sadnesses, and there are many, but of all the sadnesses associated with Adam and Eve's expulsion from the Garden of Eden, perhaps none to me is more profound than mankind's loss of spiritual insight. You know, when Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden there, there was a lot that was introduced into their lives east of Eden that they never experienced in the garden. There was pain and suffering, for one thing. Okay? A lot of pain and a lot of suffering. There was thirst and hunger. For the first time, they experienced fear and lust and longing. These things were absent in their lives in the Garden of Eden, but now All these things rain down on them. Everything is painful. There's lots of suffering. They're always thirsty. They're always hungry. They're always tired. And they're always finding themselves full of temptation and lust and longing. And they're fearful. Fearful of animals, fearful of flood, fearful of lightning strikes, everything. And their fear is forcing them to be preoccupied with the physical. It forced them into really what I consider a very necessary preoccupation with the physical. And so you can understand that going outside the garden, now everything in their existence had to do with meeting physical needs first. I mean, they had to go hunting and digging. They had to feed and clothe. They had to build walls and fashion weapons. And this really left them with very little left for spiritual pursuits. Any spiritual pursuit was forced to fight over whatever scraps of energy, time, intellect, and talent the earthly pursuits left on the table. And that wasn't much, okay? And you'd think thousands and thousands of years later, we'd be better off, but we're not. Okay, we're still in the same preoccupation. We are all still preoccupied with meeting the physical needs first. Okay, and still today, with all of our modern conveniences and strengths of technology and science and so on and so forth, we still find ourselves in our spiritual pursuits only giving to them the scraps. Okay, whatever's left over of our time, our energy, our intellect, and what remains of the day. Plus, in addition to that, the knowledge of good and evil that we gained by eating of that forbidden fruit kind of caused the fog to roll in anyway. I mean, even if we had some insight into our spiritual selves and we wanted to pursue the spiritual, now that really fogged it all up for us. Okay, it's really hard for us to make much ground anyway. Any progress would be very slow. And that's why we find in churches, incidentally, it's a lot easier to build buildings than to build disciples or to build spirituality. Why? Because we can see a building, we can all roll up our sleeves and with sweat and time and hard work, we can build something tangible. But building something intangible, the immaterial, it's a lot harder. Also, sin and shame, the sin and the shame that we got, I mean, that has really separated us in a very powerful way from our Father. And the problem with our separation from our Father is our Father is spirit. Our Father is not flesh and blood. And so now this big separation we have with God, our spirit, if we want to interact in the spiritual, if we want our spirit to interact with spirit, we're so cut off from God. How do we do that? So we're starved, basically, because the one that really we should be in intimate with and talking to and fellowship and friendship with, you know, he's on the outs, okay? We don't have him close to us. Our natures were fallen and inclined to the fleshly. So, that being the case, all these things I've just talked about, we set out to just make the most of the material, you know? And we've done pretty well. We built the pyramids and iPads. It's pretty good. That's something. And we've explored the oceans and outer space. We've looked as far as we can go down into the ocean, and we've gone actually into outer space, I think, unless we some big conspiracy, I don't know. We've developed the arts and entertainments. We've established libraries and laboratories. We've built universities and hospitals. But the problem persists, doesn't it? Okay, so no matter how much we've done making the most of the material in the world, the problem persists. We are not just the instrument. Okay, we are the song. That song needs to find expression. The fall did not make us robots. I know sometimes we think we are, or we feel like maybe it's easier for us to live if we were robots, but we're not. Our spirits, half of who we are, okay? We are flesh and blood for sure, and Jesus Christ in his resurrected body remains flesh and blood for sure. But we are, half of who we are is spirit. And those spirits, I believe, in us, are starved, undeveloped, malnourished, broken, and as Solomon says here, crushed. Jesus came and fed the hungry, for sure. And he drew water for the thirsty. He healed the sick and raised the dead. He did all those things, I believe, though, so that he would gain access to hearts and minds, because he came to minister to the spirit of the inner man, the inner woman, our inner being. That's what Jesus Christ came to minister to. You know, in God's army, you won't find any mercenaries there. You know what a mercenary is? A soldier of fortune. Somebody who fights for money. They don't really care about the cause necessarily, but if you pay them enough, they'll fight. And they'll do the very best they can. Well, God's army doesn't have mercenaries. God doesn't pay people to fight. If you're in it here for the pay, you want some kind of blessing, you want the milk and honey, you want eternal life, or whatever it is, whatever Benny you're trying to get out of God today by trying to fight on his behalf or stand up for him, that's not how it works. If you're in God's army, your blessing is the battle. You like the battle. Your fortune is the fight. You like the fight. Okay, that's what your heart beats for, what God's heart beats for. Okay, you love what he loves and you hate what he hates, and that's what you're about here today. And that's what I really believe is going to get to the bottom of this spirit problem that we have, is for us to love the fight, to be engaged in the battle, not for the pay, not for the blessings, but for God himself and for what it is he's looking to do. I think there are a lot of wonderful insights in this passage. And so I want to just share with you briefly three things I get out of here about our spirits. And I want to talk to us about our spirits, okay? And I want to try to help us, if we can, to make some progress in attending not just to the physical in our lives, but to the spiritual today, okay? The first thing I want you to see here is the spirit's mirror. How is it that we can see our spirit? Look again at verse 14. This, of course, is from the book of Proverbs, which was written by King Solomon, the son of David and Bathsheba, who, when offered anything to enhance his kingship in Israel, he asked for wisdom. Verse 14 says this: a man's spirit will endure sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear? So you look in the bathroom mirror in the morning. I know we all love to do that. You know, it's great. I leave mine fogged up. I don't want to see it. I don't wipe it off. I just, you know, I just want to kind of get the general impression. But anyway, in the bathroom mirror, we're able to look ourselves in the eyes. Have you noticed that? Okay, I can look myself in the eye in the bathroom mirror, and I can look at myself face to face. If I have a CAT scan, I can see my heart, or the doctor can see my heart for me. An MRI, my mind, my brain can be viewed. And if I have an ultrasound, or I won't have an ultrasound, my wife has an ultrasound, I can see our unborn baby in there, okay? It's wonderful. It's a powerful thing. You can see every aspect of ourselves, right? But with what can we see our spirit, okay? And what can I see who I am in there? Is there an enchanted pool somewhere? In some secluded glade, if I go up there and I look in it, I'll see my soul's reflection. Can we stand in ultraviolet light? Is there some instrument that'll show us in ultraviolet light our spirit? Is there some test or scan, some infrared this or x-ray that? No. Actually, if you want to see a person's spirit, we don't need modern medicine, and you don't need cutting-edge technology to see your spirit. God has given us a much simpler and more effective mirror in which we get to see our inner selves. A man's spirit is easily seen. A woman's spirit is easily seen in adversity. Okay, and not just any kind of, I mean, adversity, stress of good and negative kinds, okay, in both. If you give a man $1 million, okay, you're going to see his spirit, okay, like film developing in a dark room, you know. You're going to see exactly who that person is when you give them $1 million. If you stand in the snow next to a man who's watching his house burn down in the middle of the night, you're going to see his spirit. Like a crime scene investigator dusting for fingerprints, they're going to show up standing there in the snow. If you sit with a woman whose husband's been found unfaithful, you're going to see her spirit. Okay? Like the wind making waves in the wheatgrass. You're going to see it. Adversity shows us our inner man, our inner person. Pain and suffering, agony and ecstasy, the heights of joy and the depths of sorrow, they reveal to us our inner man. They reveal to us our inner being. So the question then is, how's your spirit? Okay. The events in your life presently, I know some of you are living out Ecclesiastes chapter 3, hopefully not on a weekly basis, but at least on a year-to-year basis. Almost all those things are true in your life. As those things come into your life, how you doing? What is being reflected? What is being developed in that dark room? What fingerprints are being lifted? What waves are being made in the wheatgrass? Are you easily enduring the day's events? Are you on top of it? Or are you giving out? Is life becoming for you too much to bear? Are you getting crushed? Is your spirit indefensible against the things that are going on in your life? Now, Solomon, in his wisdom, wants us to take notice of our spirit and assess its condition. It's important to note, I believe, that your spirit is not subject to the same forces that your body is. Okay, do you hear me? Not perfectly. When you think of your, oftentimes I think we think of our spirit, we probably just assume it's a lot like our bodies. But listen, your spirit does not age in the same way as your body does, as the flesh and blood does. It isn't weighed down by gravity the way your body is, and it doesn't have physical limitations. In Sophocles' great tale of Oedipus, it doesn't matter. He's trying to get into Thebes. He's got business he wants to do there. And when he's going into Thebes, there's a sphinx outside the city that won't let him in. And if he wants to get into the city, he's offered, he tells him a riddle. He says, if you can solve the riddle, I'll let you into Thebes. So here's the riddle. He says to Oedipus, what animal walks on 4 feet in the morning, 2 feet at midday, and 3 feet at night? You guys remember this from school? Okay. Well, Oedipus, having a physical deformity, picked up on it, that it's man. Of course, we don't believe man are animals, but Sophocles, you know, whatever. But it's man. Man, when you're young, you crawl on 4 feet. You crawl on all fours. In the middle of your life, in the top of your strength, you walk upright on 2 feet. And then in old age, you need a walking stick. You've got 3. Okay. So that was the riddle. Now, in life, you can see in our bodies, there's this arc, isn't there, in our life. We go from weakness to strength to weakness. We see that in everybody. And so I think we sometimes feel that our spirits are the same way. Our spirits follow that same arc in life, that going from weakness to strength to weakness again. That's not so, okay? If you feel like physically you're beginning to waste away, physically you're beginning to suffer, physically you're losing faculties, and you certainly have deficits and so on and so forth, you start to think, well, my spirit is the same way. Not so, okay? Your spirit is not, does not have to follow, is not bound by those same physical limitations. Your spirit does not ever need to see sunset in your life, okay? Never. I asked to put up on the screen 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's read this through together. This is a rather long passage, but listen to what Paul has to say on this subject. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Okay. Praise the Lord for that. Okay. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it. And thank you, Marcia and Rodney. Listen, I've never been a Jamaican working the late night shift on a banana boat. Okay, I've never done that. Some of you think, wow, I'm surprised you've never done that. But I do think I could sing along with that Jamaican night shift worker on the banana boat. I think I could sing with him. Come, Mr. Tallyman, Tallyman, count me bananas. Tally me bananas. Daylight come and me want to go home, right? Do you guys know what that feels like? Tallyman, Tallyman, tally me bananas. Daylight come and me want to go home. Now listen, a lot of us want to go home, okay? I know that. And listen, the Tallyman is coming soon enough for all of us, okay? Today's a day, if the Tallyman doesn't come today to count your bananas up, okay, and to punch our ticket and send us on, I want you to understand something. Today is a day to glorify God, okay? Today is the day to put those momentary afflictions aside, to allow these persecutions, these sicknesses, these afflictions, these hardships, these sufferings, these pains, let them come. This is a day for our spirits to conquer, for our spirits to, even in the midst of these things, to show themselves accountable to God, testimony to God's power and greatness in our lives, whether it be in the lion's den, in the king's court, or on stormy Galilee. It doesn't matter, okay? The Spirit's mirror is adversity. I pray that the day's adversity, this week's adversity, this time in your life's adversity, for good and for bad, the stress, I pray that it shows a developing inner man, inner woman that is courageous, strong, bold, and free. The second thing I want you to see in this passage is, if that's the Spirit's mirror, what's the Spirit's meal? What's the Spirit's meal? Looking at our verse again, verse 14. Solomon again, a man's spirit will endure sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear? Shea once wrote, depend on the rabbit's foot if you want, but just remember, it didn't work for the rabbit. Okay, so, okay. Yeah, I probably read that. That's right, it sure didn't. It didn't work for the rabbit. When it comes to spiritual health, there are a lot of rabbit's foots out there. Okay, a lot. There's transcendental meditation. There's yoga. There's mood and music therapy. Incense and peppermints. Whatever. Taking whatever vehicle you want to go to whatever happy place you intend to go to. Our life is full of these rabbit's foots that we believe are going to give us or protect us or spare us spiritual infirmity, okay? We really believe that. Now, all these rabbit's foots are all related to the physical in some way. Have you ever noticed that? All these things that are designed to help our spirit, I'm talking about New Age things or, food and music, and all this, they're all things that aid our physical bodies. In order to nourish our spirits, we're looking to the physical, but it doesn't work that way. Your spirit is not nourished by the physical. You know, you could have $1 billion today and be just as desperately insecure as you were without it, okay? You could eat 1 million meals and be starving inside. And you could sleep with 1,000 lovers and still be very lonely. Absolutely, okay? Solomon is indicating that your spirit here is greater than your flesh. If you have a strong spirit, Solomon's saying, it doesn't matter what kind of sickness you have, okay? A man's spirit, assuming it's healthy, will endure the sickness. But a crushed spirit, if you lose your spirit, everything overwhelms you. Everything ruins you. Everything puts you under, okay? And everybody turns blue. You can't help it. So it's all about your spirit. That a healthy spirit overcomes a sick body every time. You know, I think when you think about just looking at this piano, a piano should be well-crafted, it should be finely tuned, and it should be properly maintained. Absolutely. But the song never seeks inspiration from the piano, okay? The piano is the instrument. So it is with your body. Your body is well-crafted. It should be finely tuned and properly maintained. Absolutely. And I encourage you all to get 10 hours of sleep at night. Eat your fruits and vegetables. Hey, go out and play a little bit. Exercise, have fun. Do all those good things. Take care of yourselves, okay? But your bodies are not going to be the key to having a rich spiritual life. It doesn't work that way. Okay. The song doesn't seek inspiration from the instrument. I'd like now if we could look at Psalm 42. Thank you, Marcia. Psalm 42 reads like this. Listen to what we can learn here about our inner man from the psalm. To the choir master, a maskil of the sons of Korah. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation. And my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. I love that phrase, deep calls unto deep. Okay. What is the Spirit's meal? If you want a spirit that is robust, healthy and strong in order to endure sickness, adversary trials of every kind, and blessings, by the way. You need a strong spirit to endure prosperity as well as adversity. I challenge you. The food for that, the meal for that, the sustenance for that is the Lord God himself, is the Holy Spirit. You've got to let deep call into deep in your life. You've got to let the Lord minister to you. Let the Lord in his Holy Spirit come and build you up in the inner man. And that means your inner man has got to be in a relationship with God, okay? You've got to be fostering that relationship. You've got to be in the closet with him. You've got to be talking with him in his word, praying. You've got to be pursuing him, as we've been talking about in our Sunday morning discussion of Tozer's The Pursuit of God. You've got to pursue him all that you can. So I challenge you in that. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what kind of efforts you're making to try to pursue God, but you need to make more of them, okay? And understand that I know that we try to medicate our spirits' sadnesses. I know that we try lots of different devices, all of them physical, to feel better, okay? It doesn't work. Seek the Lord, okay? Seek the Lord, and in him, you'll find that strength of spirit. Final thing I want you to see in here is the Spirit's measure. So the Spirit's mirror is these adversities in our lives. The Spirit's meal is the Lord's Spirit, God's Spirit in our lives. And what is the Spirit's measure? How do we measure this thing, the importance of it? Look one more time at verse 14. A man's spirit will endure sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear? We guard what's most important. The boxer keeps his dukes upright. He wants to block any blow to the head. His head's most important as he's boxing. The banker keeps his cash in a vault, and he has an armed guard standing sentry by the door. The builder labors longest over the foundation, and the blueprint for the base of the thing is what he holds on to most tightly. But the believer, what does the believer, he or she, guard? What is most important to the believer? Is it a plot of land in Palestine? Is it a symbol made of wood or stone? Is it a doctrine or a creed? Is it a church building or a church family? Listen, these are all important. They're very important. But they are also God's to keep. When you look in the scripture, these things I've listed, which we've oftentimes clung to and tried to hold on for ourselves, these are God's to keep. We must guard our spirits first. That's our charge and challenge. It's up to us to guard our spirits, okay? What is the measure of your spirit? Well, you can see from this verse that if you want peace, joy, fulfillment, if you want to be happy, you want to be in charge and ordered in your life, it begins with having a strong spirit. And that's yours to guard and yours to keep. The final scripture that we could look at, just one verse here from Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, Solomon says, for from it flow the springs of life. Okay. Are you listening? Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. That's pretty clear. Okay. And I know that we think springs of life, we can dig our own wells for them. We can create it. We can smite the rock and have it come out. It's not so. It's from our heart, and it's from a contented, fulfilled, believing heart. Are you in prayer, people? Are you in prayer? Are you in fellowship with the Lord? Are you avoiding evil in your lives? You know, if you're giving into evil all the time, forget it. Okay? Your spirit is unguarded. Your guard is down and you're getting clobbered, okay? And you're up against the ropes, needing a cut man, bad, okay? Are you working hard to grow in your understanding of how God speaks to you? Are you going through the awkward and difficult measure of getting alone with him with no agenda, no list of things to pray through, just quiet, meditation? Are you doing that? Are you looking to understand God in a personal way, to relate to him personally? I pray you're doing all these things. Feed the spiritual in your life. Remember when I was a kid, my mom used to always take the bacon grease and she'd pour that bacon grease into a coffee can and she'd keep it in the freezer. And I remember in the wintertime, my mom loved birds and she had one of those suet cages. And she'd take those fat drippings and she'd make suet for the birds. And she'd mix in some seeds and stuff. I remember she'd sit there on the counter and she'd cut that stuff up and she'd fit it into that cage and hang it. And I remember thinking as a kid, I thought, wow, you know, we need to make a lot more suet. I mean, how is the bird population going to survive the winter? I mean, we need more of this stuff. And my mom said to me, I think the birds are going to be okay. She had to talk me down. I got really worried about all the birds, you know. Plus, I just wanted more bacon. That was the other thing. But I'm just kidding. She said, I don't just put these bird feeders up and this suet up because I do care about the birds. But she said, you know, I bring them here because I want to see the birds. I like them. I'm attracting them because I want to look at them. Okay, they're beautiful to me, and I like to put them right in front of the window so that as we're eating, we can enjoy looking at the birds. I want you to understand, these pursuits of the Lord allow you to see the beauty of the Lord. Okay, do you want to see God in your life? Do you want to see the Spirit in your conversations, in your interactions, in the minutiae of your daily lives? Do you want to see the Lord in those? Do you not want to spend a single moment where you don't feel God right on your shoulder, talking to you, with you, blessing you? I do. If you're going to do that, you got to put the suet out. You got to put the feeder out. You've got to say, Lord, please come and be a part of my daily life. So I've challenged you here today with all that we have to do. I know we're going to go out of here and we've got to eat. And we're going to get tired. We're going to go to sleep. And there's going to be yards to rake here soon and mow and all the rest of it. It'll all take care of itself. Please take time to minister to your spirit. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this admonition from Solomon. Thank you for the challenge that your word continually puts before us, which is to not neglect our spirits, to not neglect our souls. Lord, I pray as the shepherd here at this church that you'll work in every heart and every home, that you'll work in every ministry of ours, that you'll certainly be with the leadership, with the elders. Lord, I pray that with every one of us, we will increasingly see more robust, more healthy, more strong souls and spirits, which are able to endure and to indeed make the most of the adversities which are surely to come. the prosperities which are surely to come. Lord, may we continually feed our inner person, our inner being, and may we show in our daily activities, in the use of our time, energy, intellect, and talent, that we appreciate the measure of our spirit, how important it is to you, to us, and to these that we love, our community, our world. Lord, thank you for this word today, ancient and all true. In Jesus' name, amen.